Okay, it is good to be back in the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I appreciate all the years the Lord permitted me to serve here. And in the last, be 2 years in August since I retired from the pastoring, but I haven't retired from preaching. I'm going to preach as long as I crawl into a pulpit. I'm going to preach. And except for 3 months when I had a knee replacement, I've preached about half the time or a little bit more, something like that. I was at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Kingsport, Sunday before last, and in Abingdon the last Sunday this month, and here tonight, and preached at Ambassador Baptist College the last Saturday night of the month. So I am keeping busy for the Lord. And by the way, let me say I appreciate the way the church stood behind me all the years, and then thank you for the support you've given me since I retired, and I appreciate that. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let me say this first before we turn in our Bible. I want to tell you about what I heard yesterday. I heard about it yesterday morning at a preacher's meeting that a man went to a doctor, and the doctor did a medical examination and told the man, he said, I hate to tell you this, but he said, you only have 6 months to live. He contracted some kind of disease. I don't know what it was. And the man was stunned, and he said, well, doc, do you have any advice? He said, yes, I do. I have three pieces of advice I want to give you. First of all, I advise you to marry a widow with about 6 to 8 kids, and then buy you about 100-acre farm with about 800,000 hogs, and then pastor a Baptist church. And then he said, well, doc, why would you advise me to do all those things? He said, it'll be the fastest 6 months you ever spent in your life. So, well, we get out of business now. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 147. I was working on getting the message up on the tribulation and Antichrist and out of Daniel, but then Dr. Comfort shot that full of holes by preaching on the Antichrist last Thursday night. But I believe this is the direction the Lord wants me to go anyway tonight. Here in one of the great Psalms, Psalm 147, first four verses of, I feel led tonight to consider these four verses. Psalm 147, page 670 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Sounds good, but it still sounds good. Sounds good after all these years of saying that. Let's read Psalm 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. And then what a fantastic thing. He calleth them all by their name. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at these four verses. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being back behind the pulpit here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray for Brother Jody as he's preaching down at the conference at Crown in Knoxville. Bless him as he closes out tomorrow morning, I believe it is, and give him a safe trip back. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help tonight as we look into the Word of God. Lord, I know from all these years of preaching, Lord, unless you help me, I can't preach. And would you help me, anoint me tonight, bless these dear people, and may we get something from the Word of God tonight, I pray. And may the Holy Spirit anoint, the author of the Word, the Holy Spirit, may he anoint the Word that we might have spiritual understanding therefrom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Psalm 146 to 150, as you know, begins and ends with praise ye the Lord. And that's not a suggestion, but a command. We are commanded to praise the Lord. And here in Psalm 147, verse 1, the psalmist commands us to praise the Lord, and then he gives us three reasons why we ought to praise him. You know, there's a great verse on praise in Psalms, Psalm 22:3. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So the Lord camps out around about us when we start praising the Lord. Folks, we need to get in the mode of praising the Lord. And here in this first verse, he gives us three reasons why we ought to praise him. First of all, he says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. You know, it's good for your constitution to praise the Lord. It'll help you to more to praise the Lord than it will to run to your medicine cabinet and pop out some of your favorite nerve pills. Praising the Lord will get your mind off your problems on the Lord. And it'll be, praising the Lord will help you more than going to your favorite psychiatrist, favorite quack, I started to say, but I won't say that. But when we praise the Lord, we get our mind off our problems, so we need to go from problems to praise. And that would really help us. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on what? On thee, because he trusteth in him. And I've noticed when a problem comes, if I will just look above the problem and look to Jesus, the problem becomes sort of insignificant. When we get our mind off of the problem and turn it to Jesus, there's a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And that's that, folks. People say, why does this happen? Why does that happen? There's no answer. Just the only answer is just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to Jesus. So it's a good thing. It'll help us physically, mentally, and spiritually, and emotionally to look from our problems and look above our problems and look to Jesus. And then, I don't know what time I started here. I don't know when I'm going to stop either. But let me look, see where, didn't even notice what time was when I started. But anyway, the second thing. First of all, praise the Lord because it's good. And then notice the next thing. And also, for it is pleasant. Someone said that that word could be translated from the original there. It could be sweet. One of the most sweet, blessed experiences of my life is to just feel the presence of the Lord and then offer him praise. That's one of my greatest experiences. One of the greatest things I enjoy in life is just feeling the wonderful presence of the Lord and praising the Lord. And, you know, now I don't, every time I get up to preach, I don't feel God all over the place. And when I come up here in the morning and get in that office, listen, you say, preacher, you have revival in there? No, I'm backslid sometimes. I don't get anything out of the Word of God. But sometimes I'll get alone with God and feel his wonderful presence. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, you can't hit a home run every time you get up. You know that. Peyton Manning's a great quarterback, but he doesn't complete a pass every time he tries one. In fact, 2 years ago, you know, in the Super Bowl, there's a man wide open there, and he threw it right to him. He didn't see that defensive back coming over, and right before it hit that man, he picked it and went on for a touchdown, and that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I think. But anyway, many times here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church over the years, I would feel, when I'd get up here, I'd feel his sweet presence like, I will praise him. That just elicits praise in my soul. And I want to just slip my hand up to praise the Lord. And, you know, you can't, folks, now I like to praise the Lord. I like to feel God's presence. And we all do. But, you know, you've got to be faithful regardless how you feel. Now, you be faithful when you feel like it. And be faithful when you don't feel like it. When I played football, listen, you had to play hurt a lot of times. You just had to, they call it tighten your belt and gut it out and keep going, you know. And the same way, I was thinking about, and I won't tell you the man's name, many of you know him, but back over when we were over in the chapel over there, there was one of the finest men in this community. He had come every Sunday morning to church, but he never would get saved. And the pastors would take evangelists out and talk to him. And I preached to him, I don't know how many, I guess 2 or 3 years or longer. And then one day I stood up to preach. And folks, I was wanting the service to hurry up and get over. I didn't feel like preaching. I felt like being out with my hound dogs more than I did up preaching. And as soon as I gave the invitation, now think, all evangelists had come in here. The pastors had tried to win him. Brother Jack, you prayed for him. You knew what I'm talking about, probably. Here, that man walked down the aisle over there in that chapel and got saved. And I didn't feel a thing. And a few years later, they told me that he was right at the point of death, so I went down to his house. And I said, you remember the time you came forward and trusted Christ as your Savior? Did you really mean business? He said, I did, preacher. And I said, well, are you ready to go out to meet God? He said, I'm ready to meet God. So if we need to be faithful where we feel like it or not. Because God can bless us if we're just faithful. But anyway, I like to feel the presence of the Lord, and I like to praise the Lord. Sometimes I'll raise my hand. Now, my wife comes from a Mennonite background where you can cough once, but you can't cough twice. And I come from a shouting Baptist background, and I hadn't lost all of it. But when I sometimes praise the Lord like that, the old devil will whisper to me, and he'll say, don't raise your hand like that and praise the Lord, or you'll run people off. The old devil says, well, you have a doctor's degree now, and you shouldn't act like that. But every now and then, I just must praise the Lord. I just must praise the Lord. I prayed for a lady one time and anointed her with oil and at her request. And one of her friends asked her, what charismatic church do you attend? Now, folks, we can't let the charismatics do all the praising the Lord. We can't do it. And there's one of my favorite characters, an old quaint Englishman of a century gone by, Billy Bray. He said, I just can't help but praise the Lord. He said, as I go down the street, he said, I lift one foot, and it seems to say glory, and I lift another foot, and it says amen. So he said, I just keep on walking like that, saying glory and praise the Lord. Billy was criticized for praising the Lord, and said if they put me in a barrel, I would shout glory out of the bunghole. And his wife, one time they came, he was out preaching, and they came to him, and they said they told him his wife had died, and he started shouting and praising the Lord. And they said, Billy, why are you shouting? He said, she's done left the doubters and gone up with the shouters. Well, anyway, we ought to praise the Lord because it's good and because it's pleasant. And then notice in verse 1, and praise is comely. That means it's becoming or is fitting. So folks, it is fitting or becoming or a comely thing that we as creatures worship and adore our Creator. We ought to do that. And while we have breath, we ought to praise Him. And then when our last breath leaves this body, we'll be transported to that heavenly country where we'll join the saints of God and the innumerable host, and we'll praise Him for all eternity. So you better get in the praise mode now, because in heaven, we're going to praise the Lord while the ages roll. Now in verse 1, the psalmist commands us to praise the Lord and then gives us three reasons why we ought to praise the Lord. Then in the next three verses, the psalmist makes three great statements about the work of the Lord in his day and in our day. In verse 2, the Lord at work in the church. Verse 3, the Lord at work in the broken heart. And in verse 4, the Lord at work in the heavens. Now let me vary that order the psalmist gives these statements in, and let me give them to you in a descending order. Let's first of all see the Lord at work in the heavens, then in the church, and then in the broken heart. So first of all, in verse 4, look at verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. For thousands of years, men tried to count the number of stars before the telescope came on the scene, and they tried to count, look up and try to count all the stars. And a man by the name of Ptolemy said there were 1,056 stars. And Kepler said there were, no, that's wrong, there's just 1,005 stars up there. Well, today we know that there are well over a billion stars in our galaxy alone. and probably billions more stars in other galaxies. I got to thinking now our national debt right now is $14 trillion. And we're in a state of confusion. But you know, the Lord has trillions of stars and there's no confusion. He's got it all under control. But here in verse 4, the Word of God says He knows the exact number of stars. And even though there are billions of stars, He knows each star by name. Why, I've been around you for years, most of you, and I don't know everybody's name in this church here tonight. And I'd say Brother Gary might know everybody in this church. But the Lord, now here's another thing about the star. He not only created the stars and knows the exact number and names, but He is at work right now maintaining them. And He just didn't create those stars and turn them loose. No, in Colossians 1:17, by Him all things consist. And then also let's apply that to the Word of God. It's just like the Word of God. He didn't inspire the holy men of old to write the Word of God and then forget all about it. The Lord didn't forget all about that. I believe He inspired. Now, we don't have the original manuscripts today, but I believe God has preserved the Word of God. I believe the preserving hand of God was behind it. And what I have in my hand, the King James Version, is the preserved Word of God. And the God, if he can keep cause billions of stars to stay in place, and by Him all things consist, certainly He could preserve the Word of God. And I believe He did. For Hebrews 1:3 says, upholding all things by the word of His power. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I don't see how anyone could walk out at night and look up and see all the beautiful stars and not say there must be a God somewhere. Then secondly, notice in verse 2, the Lord at work in the church. Look at verse 2 there. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Now the psalmist said He is building Jerusalem and gathering in the outcast of Israel in His day. Now we are, as you know, we're in the church age today, and the Lord is building His church today, and gathering in the lost from every tribe and nation on the face of this earth. That's world missions. And I thank God for the mission program He gave us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Harry and Steve just came back from Southeast Asia. And our mission program went and sold down in India, up in Burma and Thailand, all places there in Southeast Asia. And Brother Graham just come home from Brazil. And there's thousands and thousands are being saved down in the nation of Brazil. And he's gathering in the lost from every tribe and nation. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord, I know we're living in the day of apostasy, but God's still building His church. And He's going to keep building it. And He's promised that the gates of... There's a lot of people have given up on the church. Now, I'm a local church man. I believe in the local church. A lot of people are giving up on the church, saying it's outmoded and doesn't meet the need. Listen, the Word of God preached by people who love God and believe it is still the answer to the needs of America today. And by the way, the answer to America is not what's going to happen in Congress. I hope they get that crazy debt settled. But still listen, that's not the answer to America. America's needs is in the church houses across America, that we would preach the Word of God and have revival and see this country turn back to God, or there's no hope for us. There's no hope. I don't care the Republicans or Democrats or plutocrats, they don't have the answers. They have confusion. But I'll tell you, the answer is a Holy Ghost revival. And I don't see any sign of it going on today. Let me get back. I got off on a little politics there, but what I said is right, though. So the Holy Spirit, and by the way, that's why you ought to be faithful to this church. Faithful, I mean, every time the door opens, you ought to be here. You ought to be faithful with your time, your talent, your money. I have one of my sons here, and I'm glad as a boy, little boy, and as my daughter and my other son, we brought them to church every time the door opens. And parents, let me tell you, you'll never regret bringing your children to church every time the door opens. You ought to do it. Thank God for the church. Now, the Holy Spirit's calling out. He's in that work. He's building up the church as he was in the Old Testament there in Jerusalem and Israel. He's building up the church today. And one day, as the Holy Spirit will call out the last person. The last person will be saved. The church will be complete. And Jesus will come back for his bride. And we're going to be married to the Lord Jesus someday as a church. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:27, he's going to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, I wasn't even a good-looking groom, but I'm going to be a beautiful bride someday. I mean, I've already seen a description of my wedding dress. It's going to be a robe washed white in the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to be married. I'm going to be a bride someday. Hallelujah. I'm going to be along with you if you're saved. We're going to be married to our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm feeling pretty good on that right there. Sounds good to me. Now, but I'm coming to the verse 3, and this is the main reason the Lord wanted me to preach this message tonight in verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The Lord is at work in the broken heart. Now, I was run across this here a few days ago that I'd gone to Johnson City Hospital and was visiting a person in the hospital there, and they were eaten up with cancer. Now, you need to pray for your pastor. He's going to have these burdens upon him. That's why you need to pray for him. I mean, I went to that hospital to see a person eaten up with cancer many years ago. And then I just stepped back in the office here, and is Brother Larry just over here tonight? Well, I'm sorry, point out. But Brother Larry, when you, Linda, before you all came out here, you were still a member of the church in Johnson City. And he called me up and asked me to come. He knew I was about gone to Bob Jones, and his pastor, Chester Phillips, had gone to Bob Jones. And he told me, he said, Brother Lashley, he said his lovely daughter, a 32-year-old daughter, a graduate of Bob Jones University, was just killed instantly in a car accident in Boone, North Carolina. So I turned around, went right back out, got in my car, and went to Johnson City to comfort this broken-hearted pastor, Chester, and his wife, Dot. I constantly have to deal over all of my ministry with people who have broken hearts. This Sunday morning, I was come up here and I was back here studying in the office here, and Brother Clifford came back to me and said, Jody wants you to call him. And he said, Brother Preacher, he said, Preacher, he said, I want you to go with a call. And we went to a neighboring city, and folks, you don't know the broken hearts that's in this church. It's around us on every side. And we got down on our knees and prayed and wept with this family. There's a lot of broken hearts. But my words are insufficient. But I'm glad I can point folks to one who heals a broken heart. Thank God. And people all around us have broken hearts. Because they've been forsaken by friends, but forsaken by loved ones, or a death has paid them a visit and snatched out one dearer than life itself. And they think they have nothing worth living for. Broken heart. There are those who are broken hearted over financial reversals. Did you know people are killing themselves all across America every day because they've lost their job and losing their house and everything? People have broken hearts over a defeated life and over a disappointment of some kind and family problems. But if you have a broken heart tonight, listen to this preacher. If you have a broken heart, the word of God here says, he healeth the broken in heart. And I like this. This is sweet. I like this. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So if you have a broken heart tonight, the Lord wants to bind up your wounds. Hallelujah. 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 That's sweet, that is comfort. And he is the only one, the Lord is the only one who can do it. He's the only one. Men can relieve suffering, they can offer sympathy to the bereaved and try to cheer up the sad, but only the Lord can heal the broken heart and bind up their wounds. Only the Lord can. Oh, I'm glad the Lord had me to preach this. I'd rather preach this and preach Antichrist anyway. But I like to preach Antichrist too every now and then. But I'm glad the Lord had Brother Comfort to preach that next Thursday night, so I wouldn't preach it tonight. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can bind up and heal a broken heart. And he's the only one that has the power to do it. He's the only one that has power. No preacher. I can go and I can get down on my knees and pray and weep with people like Brother Jody and I did there Sunday morning. And preachers do it all the time. But we don't have power to heal a broken heart. We just have to point them to Jesus. As the Lord helps them, they can come through. They can make it. No psychiatrist has power to heal a broken heart. In fact, if they don't know the Lord, if they're anti-religious, they're more confusing than they are helpful. And you don't have, listen, you don't have a friend in this world, I don't either, can heal a broken heart. But we know one, Jesus, can heal the broken heart. The great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, healeth the broken in heart. And you know what? Jesus specializes in it. He specializes. I'm glad I know a specialist for broken hearts. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's the only one who can heal a broken heart. He's the only one who has power to heal a broken heart. But thank God he wants to do it. He wants to help us, and he wants to do it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that good to know that the Lord cares for us? Listen, you think, preacher, not many people care for you. You may be right. You may say there's none that cared. Nobody cares. Oh, you're wrong. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. And there's only one that we can rely on in the crisis hours of life, and that one is Jesus. There is coming an hour when each person in this building will have to say goodbye to friends and loved ones, and you're every one of us, our souls are going to take flight someday to worlds unknown. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And there's only one who we can put our trust in when we come down to the river, and that's Jesus. I'm glad that, I've told you many times, a couple of times I thought I was going over to the other side. It scared me to death when I thought I was going to have a bad heart and a heart attack. And the Lord saw me through there. When it come right down to it, he gave me peace. Then when I had prostate cancer, I thought it was over with. That's what you think. I always think the worst of it, everything, you know. But I'm glad that when I got right down to it, I wasn't afraid to die. Now, I was a big coward when I first heard about it. I was scared to death. You were a preacher. Yeah, I was. But when I got right down to it and got to praying, the Lord gave me peace. And when I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there will be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Praise God. Where was in that song there? I'm about to forget. I better quit praying. Well, it's always an order to praise the Lord, isn't it? Even when the preacher's singing, it's an order to praise the Lord. Jesus died, all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to to cross Jordan alone. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother, we're going to sing in just a moment, 356. 356. If there's somebody here tonight, you've got a great need, you've got a broken heart, you don't have to tell me about the need, I can't help you. I can just tell you to look to Jesus, all I can do. If you'll come tonight and just get down on this altar and bring that need to Jesus, He healeth the broken heart. He can help you with your problem. I can't, I can point you to Him, but He can help you. What is that song, Brother?
I Must Tell Jesus.
Let's just sing. I think we know it. Where you're seated there, I Must Tell Jesus. And if the altar's open, if you want to just come down right now, just get up. I Must Tell Jesus all of my troubles. Let's sing it, Brother Gary.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Let's stand in 356, is it? 356, let's sing the second, the next, and the last, then the last verse. And the altar's open. Need to come, get on your knees for God. Just slip out and come down. If the Lord's leading you to do it, come right on as we sing.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Just keep playing softly, bow your head, close your eyes, just as we play through softly again. Let me just say, I don't know some of you tonight, but if somebody here not saved or you're far from God, why don't you come tonight? Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Just step out and say, preacher, I want to get right with God tonight. I want to get saved tonight before I leave here. Just come right on. Or if you still want to pray, if you have a broken heart over something, come get an altar and tell the Lord about it. Let's sing the last verse.
Is tempted to sin, I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Virginia says she and Jack were out visiting today, and there was two, Linda Crawford and Linda Stewart, and both eaten up with cancer. Folks, you don't know. You don't know that there's a lot of brokenhearted people around. Let's pray for these. Brother Jack, why don't you pray for us and pray, you know, these two. Pray for them and then are you through, Brother Gary? When he prays, then we'll be through. Let's bow our heads. Brother Jack, go ahead.
Thank you.